for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, September the 6th, 2009. Ronnie Bejew is the speaker of this service, teaching on God is Changing Our Spiritual Climate.
Ronnie Bejew is going to take my place, so I won't have to hold on all evening. Come, Ronnie.
God bless you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Mama, too.
Amen. I wouldn't want to come without Mama.
Mama likes you too, because she laughs at your jokes. She doesn't like you.
Well, as long as she does just laugh at me, that's okay. I know. She just has to love me. Jesus loves me, so she has to love me. Would you stand to your feet, please? Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew once again. We want to thank General Glenn, Pastor Glenn, and his First Lady, and all of you who labor at the camp. We want to thank all the ministers that have come and labored in the Word, given their time of service unto the Lord. We thank God for all the freedom that you have received and the deliverance and the healing that you have received. And we thank you for whatsoever you have sown unto us. May the Lord sow it back to you. Bless you in your home. Bless you in your city. Bless you in your wealth. Bless you in your journeys. And in everything that you do, may your hands prosper. May your soul prosper. And may you do everything that you do in the might, in the wonderful and powerful and matchless name of Jesus. Father, it's a privilege to be here tonight. Thank you for the honor for letting us share your word. We pray that the word of God tonight will not fall upon deaf ears, but it will find good soil, and it will reap some 30, some 60, and some 100. And the Bible says in Matthew 13:44, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in the field, which when a man had found, he hid it, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels or the messengers shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? Turn and look at your neighbor, say, do you understand all these things? You may be seated. You may be seated. If you'll turn your Bibles now to the book of Ruth, we're going to try to conclude on page 357 in my Bible. I think we're going to have a great time tonight. I am so excited about what the Lord is doing in my heart. Wonderful. It's always good to be able to, for God to allow you to see what's going on the inside, and when you can see more of Jesus and less of you. And oh, how we love us. Amen. If you were here the other morning, I believe I spoke one morning, I don't recall what morning it was. The title that we're talking about of our subject is God is Changing Our Spiritual Climate. And we are certainly in a paradigm shift in our Christian world, in our church, in our nation. We have coalitions of people rising up to begin to build up their own revolution to bring America back for what it stands, one nation under God, indivisible. Christian coalitions are being formed all over the country. We want to take our country back for God. How many of you can pray that you will pray that God will send rightful leaders and put them in strategic places that they can take the country back for God? We are the people. It's not the government, the people. We are the people of God. And God is looking for people who will stand up and listen to the clarion call that is in the nation today. We begin to talk a little bit about the life of Ruth, the little Moabite woman, and how that she had come to the saving knowledge of who God is. And we use her as a format to talk about a church on the move. And God is looking for people who are really ready to be plucked up, who are really tired of the old traditional church way of doing things, you know, three songs, a benediction, and a poem. There's got to be more to God than just three poems, a benediction, and a poem. And if this is all you're getting, hey, it's better than nothing. But we're going to have to come to a place in an agreement and walking the Spirit of God to find out what God is asking us to do. And for some of you, by the sound of my voice and watching by internet, let me tell you that God is going to eradicate, He's going to pluck some of you out from your comfort zone, and you're not going to continue to walk the way you've been walking for years. I don't know about you, but you can have all this, give me that good old time religion that you want. I don't want good old time religion. I just want to know that I am right with God and I am in the center of the will of God, and God is using me as a yielded vessel, and all I have to say to God is, yes, Lord, I'll go. Not try to con God, not try to talk to God and try to convince God why He should send somebody else. And God picked Moses, and He says, Moses, I want you to go. And Moses began his little, God, shimmering of lifting. But God says, Moses, this is not going to cut it, son. He said, but you can send Aaron. He's a better speaker. He's eloquent in speech, and he has a PhD, and he's educated, and he's been to Bible college, and he has four doctorate degrees, and he can praise the Lord daily, and he can play the piano like Jane, and he can do all these marvelous things. God, if you could only send Aaron, I would be ever so happy. He said, but Moses, if I can't move you, how do you expect me to move the nation? If God begins with one, then He gets another one. Then He gets another one involved. Jesus came, had no one following Him, and He picked them out one by one by one. And did you notice the kind of disciples He picked? Most of you wouldn't even associate with them. Can you imagine Jesus had a relative named John the Baptist? His ministry was out in the wilderness with eating locusts and camel's hair, and he smelled bad, Jane. I mean, the boy had a smell on him. It don't matter what kind of cologne they put on him. The boy just absolutely smelled bad. But John was one of the end-time, latter-day, modern-day, updated preachers. I stand before you today with a mantle very much like John the Baptist. Took me 35 years to figure out why nobody liked me. And I realized I had the wrong cologne. It smelled bad. But tonight, if I may please invoke upon your for just a little while. I want to get in this Word, and I want to be able to show you some principles and things that I believe is going to work to help you to understand about a church on the move, a church of opportunity, and a church with an overflow. Three basic things. And Sister Jerry, I could not think of that song last night, and it so irked me while I wanted to preach it. And I wanted to find this real neat example, and I want this to be on DVD. I listened to this preacher one day on a cassette tape. And he said, you know, God doesn't fool around with dead things. He said, you ever notice the buzzards on the side of the road? They're always eating on something dead on the side of the road. And he started this little song. I've never seen a buzzard eating a moving cow. I've never seen a buzzard eating a moving cow. When I giggled and I thought about it. Have some of us become so religious and be so dead that everything that walks by us gnaws at us? Have we become so complacent? And I'm being nice. Have we grown so cold and callous? Then where the hurting and the deaf and the blind, the impotent man, the misfortunate, people with withered hands who have, speak of, they've lost their ministry. Listen to me. Over 1,500 pastors a month are resigning from their ministries in our country. Who's going to take their place? Will you be the next Ruth that will say, I want God to be my God, I want your land to be my land, and I will go wherever you want me to go? It's going to require something of you. You're going to have to get up from where you are to go where He is. Can I help you tonight? If you've got your Bibles open, I want you to pay close attention to verse 21. We talked a little bit about these subjects last night, so I don't have time to reiterate everything. Ruth is talking now. She's beautiful. She's agreeable. She said, I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again. Somebody say it out loud. Empty. How many times we leave from good camp meeting, workshop activities, and we leave full, we're pregnant with the Word of God. And we return empty. Instead of putting something back into the vessels, we're still trying to draw something else out. We just need another word, and we need another meal. Are we trying to find an excuse when God begins to allow us to feel empty? That the reason that you're feeling empty, perhaps is just because you might have gotten a little cold and lackadaisical. You don't pray anymore. You don't need to study anymore. Yes, hearing, like the brother said this morning, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But the Bible says, James says, faith without works is dead. You can't just hear it. You've got to do it. You have to literally pick yourself up. You have to talk like David. It says, Saul, as for me and the Lord, we're going to praise the Lord. You better straighten up, Saul. You're not telling me what I can't do. I've come here to praise the Lord. I've come here to worship God. How many of you get up in the morning and you hear a voice that is not the Lord's and a very familiar voice of your flesh? Oh, come on. Give yourself a break. Just roll over. 5 more minutes can't hurt you. 5 turns into 10. 10 turns into 15. And if some of you can really snooze away, a couple of hours go by and you get up and your flesh talks to you again. Oh, well, you can do that tomorrow. Always putting off what could be taken care of today. Can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah? Can I get a praise the Lord? Can I get a thank you, Jesus? Then now you're preaching to me. You're not preaching to the choir. This is the last time. I'm hitting you and run tonight. Now, jump back up to verse 7. Same verse. Church on the move. The leadership of that church must learn how to release its members. Where's my other sister? I'm going to give it to you systematically. A.
The leader must not only lead, he must feed. Then lead by example. And by leading, he must never lead by manipulation and control. Some of you ladies have been raped by pastors. Spiritually. I've seen auctioneers in the church. Give me 30, give me 6, give me 4, give me 2, give me 3. And the Lord, now, please excuse me, I'm French. My wife was, and I were between a low place at time in our Christian endeavor. And we sat at home for a while. And the Lord says, when I bring you back, I want you to reprove the church and to tell them to come out of prostitution. And don't you ever handle my church again like you auctioning them for a profit. No, my God, don't ever get firm with me like that. I sound like a nice guy. I think in our shifting and our steering, Brother Newt, we're going to begin to find that the hand of God has become a little stern. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. When we are yoked together with God, I used to have this horrible habit. I left a turn right. I'd follow somebody in New York, following them right, just because I left a turn right. My wife said, you're supposed to turn left. I said, I want to turn right. This is a true story. We went to the Kenneth Hagin camp meeting in the 1970s. All of them went to sleep, and I was at the helm, and we're doing great. They were in a drought. Last night of camp meeting, downpour, Brother Tom. And we were rejoicing. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, it's raining. And this car got in front of me, and she just absolutely knew, looked like she knew where she was going. And by the time my precious girlfriend here, who was my wife at the time, my girlfriend at the time, was my girlfriend at the time, I got that all backwards. I'm tongue-tied. You make me nervous, honey. Back then, she was my girlfriend. Now she's my wife. They're all sleeping. She wakes up, she says, Ronnie, where are you? I said, oh, I'm on the road. Not 30 minutes, not 40 minutes, an hour and a half out the way. She says, what highway are you on? I said, I have no idea. I just started following that little door and going up, and now she looked like she knew where she was going. I said, I just followed her. You see, you can be going along in life and think you're following something that God wants you to follow, and then he begins to be real stern with you and says, hey, no, this is not the way I wanted you to go. And you look behind and you way, how do you say in Texas? You way yonder. And you know how far yonder can be in Texas? At least 50 miles. I was up in Uvalde and I said, hey, how far down is this highway I'm looking for? Or the fellow said, well, it's yonder. And I told my wife, I said, you really love Texas. I said, these people are weird. I said, how far is yonder? We've been traveling 50 miles. We hadn't showed up yet. You see, Ruth is the type of young believer who's coming into the knowledge of the Lord, but she does not yet know how to lead, but only to follow. Preachers, listen to me. We have an awesome responsibility. And oh God, how I used to take that so lightly. All you got to do is preach to them. It's fine. When I realized I was responsible not only for what I taught them, but I had to live this word. It's easy to preach. Living it is something else. How can I tell you how to live this way if I have never walked there? How can I tell you to be delivered from demonic activity if I've never had any? How can I tell you you need to be healed if I've never been healed? How can I tell you to prosper in God if I've never prospered? Is this systematically enough for you? Learn to release your memories. Real quickly, you must press through your betrayals, your backstabbing, and those who have left you along the Jericho road to die. You've got to press through that. It's a lonely road. I've never tried to make myself a prophet. I've never tried to make people call me by certain names. I've always believed
that the gift that God had given me would make room for me. If I come to you as an apostle, you receive me as such. If I come to you as a prophet, you receive me as a prophet. If I come to you as an evangelist, you receive me as an evangelist. If I come to you as a pastor or a teacher, you receive me in that arena. Because that's the gift that is operating in me. And God is going to restore to the church honor back to the pastors and the fivefold ministry that labored. He hadn't been able to do that with the apostles and prophets yet because we have so many self-proclaimers. If you saw what Isaiah saw, you wouldn't dare just decide to name you, well, I'm a prophet. If you would bury it in dung like Jeremiah up to his ear bowl, an eyeball, and they say, Jeremiah, darling, if you just would not say, thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah, buried in dung, smell bad. Rear back and say, thus saith the Lord. How many of you have ever prayed a foolish prayer? I've been 6 months in the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to be a prophet of God. I am and I am that I am. I'm making you laugh a little bit because y'all need to lighten up. I need to get to where I need to get. A merry heart did good as a medicine. And I'm kneeling by my bed. I said, Lord, if that evangelist really had the goodies tonight during church service, I said, I want you to wrap them big loving arms around me and just pour out your love on me. I can handle it. And the presence of God came upon me in such a way, this is what I felt. I did what you did. I said, stop! He said, what's the matter, son? I can't handle it. I'm a sinner. She said, well, I thought you just throw making your proclamation that you could handle it. Just pour it out on me, Big Daddy. He said, I barely touched you. That makes about as much sense as some of you when asking God to put you in a particular office and you're not more prepared than the man in the moon. See, this is what happened. Oprah's free-spirited. These little jacks in the box like we talked about the other day. Sister prophetess, lecturer, evangelist, songwriter, Sunday school administrator. And they slam her back in the box. Somebody coming back up. Brother, prophet, author, finisher. And God looks at us and goes, sweet, sweet daughter. Jesus looks at his father and says, Dad, did you see that? Wasn't that cute? It's a good thing he didn't go, shh. And your grandchild said, don't you shoot me like that. Got to learn to release your members. A church on the move. If you look up in verse 13, chapter 1. It says, would you tear from them till they were grown? Would you stay for them for having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it had grieved me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is going out against thee. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Church on the move will experience separation. Now, I heard a lot of the brothers sang a song about the wheat and the tare. Brother Tom talked about wheat and tare. Maybe some other. Let me give you a little pearl about wheat and tares. A few years ago, before I knew the Lord, I had gone to school and become a grain inspector at an export elevator in New Orleans, the wicked city. And studying different types of grain, especially wheat, they would bring barge lots of wheat, and soft red winter and hard red winter. And so we began to study and find out there was a fake wheat called Darnell. And the only way you can detect the two, now for the church it would be through discernment, but this through the physical being is when you peel the kernel back of a Darnell, because it was a wild wheat, it was completely black, it's rotten inside. But on the outside, I'm good wheat. Look like the real thing. and see what God is doing in this paradigm shift in the church with all of us. He's removing the flakes. Yes. Oh, yes. I'm a great pretender. Pretending that I'm still around. Remember the old songs? Some of you younger folks, you just bear with us. This is not Roy Rogers and Gene Autry. And this is not the comedy hour. This is for example only. And while you're out in the field, God is going to reveal himself to you to show you you're not just any kind of wheat, that you were handpicked, but to finish the process for your different gifts and talents. He will pull you aside for a season to himself. And I hope you can hear this, and will bring you into solitary confinement so he can reveal himself to you. And when you get back on your feet and go back into the field to fulfill the ministry that he has called you, you'll have no doubt. You won't have to pay a prophet $150 to tell you what the Lord is saying about you. It's a ripoff. And guess what? You don't have to have three confirmations from three different preachers what the Lord told you. Because this small little voice will sound like someone holding a microphone. And when you're about to make the wrong move, he'll say, stop and turn this way. And for you, who are more spiritual, and you've already mapped out your whole life, and you know exactly what God wants you to do, you're going to have a volcano of an experience. He's going to allow you to cave in before he can raise you up. Lesson number one, we must, in this season, go back and train ourselves to hear the voice of God. I shared last time I was here, there's an attempt to mute the voice of God. And how does he do it? People fall out of the ministry. They quit the ministry. They're discouraged. They're oppressed. Pastors ending up in psychiatric wards. Come on. That's not God's will. Brothers and sisters, Ruth had a choice to make. If she was going to move on into her life and be a church on the move, if we're going to have to move on into our life and walk with God, we're going to have to realize we're going to have to come in a place with God where we will get so pregnant of the Word of God that we will produce our own Obed. We will become the literally sons and daughters of God. Not infants, not adolescents. You wouldn't dare give your 2-year-old the keys to your car and tell him, go to town and get you something to eat. Would you? We can't expect God to do the same thing for us. Chapter 2, we're moving right along. Let's talk about a church of opportunity. The church of opportunity is very simple. It talks about coming out of the... And listen, again, this is not Bible college. I'm teaching compository type teaching, but I'm paraphrasing. It's coming out of the old wineskin mentality. How many of you understand the old wineskin mentality? Here's what it says. Very simple. We have always done it like this. There is no other way. But the word for the church, and at least where we live, for 2009 was... The Lord says, I will refine what's mine in 2009. And the paradigm shift was, when you go back and study all the gates in Nehemiah, that it was the night gate which refers to the east gate. And if you understand symbolism, east speaks of a new beginning, the beginning of a new era. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a new day, it's a new day, it's a new day. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. It's a new day. And we discovered in chapter 1 that elevation involves around confrontation. And God uses this time where he separates us and brings us out into the field so we can meet our enemies. I am not your enemy. You are not my enemy. I am not threatened about what you think about me. I could give a good hoot what you think. As long as I know that I am pleasing unto him. So,
young people coming preparing for the ministry. Do not allow anybody to despise your youth. And don't feel threatened. You can never sound like me. You'll never be like me. I'll never sound like you, and I'll never be like you. We have been given a diverse type of giftings in the body of Christ, and that every gift that comes from God is a good gift that comes from above. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So in this church of opportunity, we're going to learn how to maximize every moment. Say maximize every moment.
Maximize every
moment. It's a little slogan I like to use, Sister Jerry. The doors of opportunity are clearly marked. Push and pull. Now, if I was preaching and I had me an organ, I could, I can feel like I'm really pushing. Lord, I know that I'm pulling. Somebody help me push just a little bit right now. And y'all look at me like, hey, white boy, too. But see, I was telling Brad New, I said, where do these people get that they can't feel God? I can show you that in the Bible. In the book of Acts. It says, they were looking and feeling around. They were trying to feel God. When His presence comes in here, do you feel Him?
Yes.
Well, it's certainly not. It was just my emotion running away with me. Oh, Lord, help me out. I'm a mess tonight. I'm plowed deep now. Woo! Let's drink. If you're watching by internet, we are drinking water. Excuse me. Now, the church opportunity, this is a little introduction. You will find in your opportunity of time that God will give you that your probation is pending upon your promotion. Explain that, please. Number one, under probation, you're being put to the test. The Bible says in Hebrews 5 and 8 and 9 that Jesus learned obedience through the things that He suffered. May I invoke another blessing upon you?
Yes.
The word learned, I don't know how high your camera goes, but I'm fixing to do it. Jesus observes you from His high and lofty place. His eyes are going to and fro upon the earth. He's watching. Look at you and say, He's watching you. He's watching you. He's watching you. I'm not calling on you. He's watching you. He's watching your facial expressions. Watching your body language. He's watching and listening to every one of your thoughts. The Bible says that our thoughts are known in the heavens. You're going to try to pull a con job on God. Say, well, I did everything Jane told me. And when did Jane become your God?
Amen.
Promotion after your probation. You don't have to prove to the apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers that you've measured up. You have to prove to Him. And when He finds that which you have achieved to be worthy, He'll go, you go, whoo! I felt the Holy Ghost. You white people are something. Y'all need some help. Jesus. I must be a brother from another mother. I don't know what's going on in this. Woo! Help me, Jesus. All right, here's the church of opportunity. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, and Naomi had a kinsman, and her husband's a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Look at your neighbor, says Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. All said like you mean it. Boaz is a kinsman redeemer. Boaz is the type of Christ. Come to redeem you. In parentheses, right? Upon your arrival on your missionary trip, God shows up. And you realize, wow, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I have conversed with quite a few of you, and I've asked every one of you the same question. Say, well, Pastor, I wish I could help find my gifting. What do you think God called me to give? Can I teach you in a simple fashion, a Bible college fashion? I have one question to ask you. Write it down on your paper. Don't let anybody see it. What is your greatest passion? If you can answer that, you can answer why you need to be in the very center of God's will by what's working in you. I'm not the happiest when I'm building, doing remodeling. This is my joy. If I had to tell you how I really felt being up here, you didn't want to pray for me. But under this power and this presence, God allows you to be the spirit being that you really are. It's just for a moment. But it's a door of opportunity. And oh, Sister Patty, how my heart broke when we drove in Thursday night and I had been attacked by the enemy. And she said, oh, you're ministering tonight. I said, this is the first time in 35 years that I cannot answer the call. I said, I cannot. My head felt this big. And I'm talking to my mom. Worse than I'm talking now. And only vision I had was getting between the sheets. Because I knew if I could lay there long enough and pray in the Spirit and talk to God, that when the morning would come, joy would be there. Amen. And you prayed, and intercessors all over the world prayed. You know they pray for you when you call upon them? I got up the next morning with a little step. Then I rested all day. I was so spiritual. I slept. God knows what He's doing. Hallelujah. So let's take advantage of every opportunity that comes our way. And the first thing you'll notice in chapter 2, and I'm going to paraphrase, when you read about Ruth's life and she's still in the field gleaning, opportunity to glean is where you have never labored. He will give you the opportunity to glean where you have never labored. Oh, how can I help them, Jesus? We're giving you all this free food. Spiritual, godly buffet. Eat all you want to. You cannot OD on the Word of God. All these marvelous ministers have given you revelation after revelation and from fields that you have not labored from.
I didn't learn anything about this book and studied it for a couple of weeks. I preached this book about 10 different times, 10 different ways. The Word of God is marvelous. It's full. It's pregnant. If you can hear it. So we have to realize that when God gives us an opportunity, people, we have to move over. And an opportunity to glean leftovers. And in this opportunity, she meets her Boaz. She does not quite understand who this man is. She realizes that he's a wealthy man. But during this opportunity, it's going to, first of all, require your willingness to work where you have not planted. Bible said in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, if we be willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. Romans said, it's the good hand of God that leadeth us to repentance. If you've been eating in the wrong field, throw it up, pack it up, and get out. You're just occupying space. So I said, praise the Lord. Oh, wow, gee. Somebody shout, praise the Lord.
But Pastor, when are we going to go? The Bible says, let us go now. When is the kingdom? Now is the kingdom at hand. And the kingdom of God is within you. Not someday in the sweet by and by.
I love this old song. In the sweet by and by. I'm going to get my pie in the sweet by and by. I don't want no pie in the sweet by and by. I want my pie now. Now, don't get me excited. I'm going to start talking to y'all about Bujo and Thibodeau. I ain't got time for that right now. Now, are you ready? All right. Right here in verse 2, in chapter 2, says, Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, her mother-in-law, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter.
And she went and came and gleaned in the field, and after, see how she released her? Did you catch that? She didn't say, now wait a minute, you got to grow up. You need to go to Bible college. You need to have 40 hours of hermeneutics, and you need to have 30 hours of this. No, she said, go, my daughter, and glean in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on the part of the field. That word hap is so happened. When you have walked into the door of opportunity, it just so happened. Then when you get there, the Lord's there. It just so happened when you get there, the blessings are waiting for you. It's just so happened when you're in the right place at the right time. It just so happened that the miracles began to happen. It just so happened that deliverance flowed. It just so happened that healing flowed. It just so happened.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I could have missed my opportunity. Some of you have testified you got healings during this camp. Before we left the house, my wife says, you sure you want to go? I said, The devil's a lie. We get to Brookshire. I'm about ready to puke my guts out in the parking lot. She said, we can turn this thing around. I said, The devil's a lie. I had already settled it before I left. I hugged my toilet and I said, toilet, we're going to have it. Deliverance is fixing to happen. Come here! And I looked in the mirror and I washed my face real clean with a washcloth and I said, the devil is a lie. Right. I said, that. He said, you don't look healed. I said, I had nothing to do with my looks. I said, my mama loved me no matter what I look like. Well, you don't feel healed. I said, oh yeah, every time I sneeze and cough, I'm sneezing and coughing and healing. I'm getting delivered. Praise the Lord. Sorry if I coughed on you. You can even spit. Now, you were talking about somebody spitting. Did you know that your saliva while you're under the anointing? I know I'm meddling. I have no idea where I'm going now. I'm getting dangerous. I'm looking for another door of opportunity. God help me tonight. Right here in this camp meeting, Frank Mazzulla was still living. A little Jewish girl sat right on that chair. And she was partially blind. And I was clearing my throat, and God says, I want you to pray for her now. When you do, I want you to spit in her eye. I said, get thee behind me, devil. Now, ain't nobody heard that. I know this is bad English. Nobody heard it. But God heard me. And so did Brother Frank. And he came up to me. He says, son, just go ahead and obey the Lord. You're struggling. I said, okay, Brother Frank. So she's standing up there. I said, the Lord told me to do something that's not very kosher. And you being Jewish, I'm sure it's not going to be very kosher. And I said, I have to spit in your eyes. She looked at me and I went, Lord is my witness. Camp meeting used to be long back there. It was at least 7 days. It was one of the long camp meetings. And I said, oh, dear Jesus. I pulled the cork now. Ain't nobody going to want to adopt me anymore. I said, are you ready, sister? She said, I said, close your eyes. So I decided, well, I better not scare her too bad then. And I'm still debating. I said, Lord, do I really got to do this? It's an opportunity. I know his voice. I know what he told me. Nobody else knows it, but nobody else has to pay for it if I'm in disobedience either. And I thought, dear God, what if this woman gets healed? And the Lord says, spit on your finger and rub it on her eye. I'm still, brother, what do you mean? He said, was that hard to understand? I said, what do you mean? I said, what's going to happen? He says, I'm going to heal her. But it's progressive. By the end of the camp meeting, she will be totally healed.
Thought you'll...
I didn't make no announcement. Didn't tell anybody a thing. I thought, I ain't going to be no fool. Take that! Every night she came. I said, how you doing today? She says, I see a whole lot more than I did yesterday. I said, let me see. She covered her eyes. I said, something to read. At the end of the camp meeting, she turned that little corner. She said, Pastor, she said, I can see. No blurs. No blurs. No problem. She said, I can see, completely see. She said, Yeshua HaMashiach, my Jesus, my Lord, he has healed me. I said, and then I got me a sermon. All it takes is just a little spit. My wife says, you got the weirdest sermon. I said, you would consider that I'm not weird? Remember, whatever you sow. Oh, we got to get out of here in a few minutes. But this is the last night. Just enjoy it. Well, you can. How many of you have come to the place in your life and going through doors of opportunity that things don't just happen? They're preordained. They're foreordained from God. You know, if you can take opportunities, and I'm giving you a lot of examples tonight, and I wanted to preach a little bit more, and maybe we can before we're done. There was this old elder, old in years, at this particular church, excuse me, we were attending. And he was a real interesting sort of fella. He says, say, Brother Ron, how long have you been saved? Oh, I says, before the world was formed. You got to see this guy. I mean, he is a huge man. He make like three like Brother Gerald. And Brother Gerald's broad. This boy was big. Got a hand on him. Brother Gabe was his name. He's going on to be with the Lord. He said, well, maybe you didn't quite understand me. He says, how long you been born again? I said, he knew me while I was still in my mother's womb. And went on and on. I thought I was being funny. But what God was doing was to begin to prick his thoughts and make him think about scriptures. And he went back and searched the scriptures. He says, you know, the Bible says he knew us even before the foundations of the earth. He said, I ain't heard a word the preacher said the whole sermon. All I did is research my Bible. He said, I ain't heard a preacher. I said to myself, well, he ain't said much anyway. But anyway. No, he was one of them real laid-back traditional preachers. I'm going, oh, Jesus, you got to help me get out. I'm dying on the vine. See, I know about when you need to leave. You know how I know? Every service I'm in the parking lot, I got about 30 minutes. My wife said, well, why do you come? I said, because the Bible said not to forsake the assembly of the saints together. But I said, I'm wondering if they're saints or ain't. It's the same church the lady said, you're sitting in my chair. Two strikes, you're out. You got to move on, brother. You've got to move on. Remember, and one of the commodities that was being used in this field was wheat, but wheat was referred to as corn. Corn is symbolic of the word. So look at your neighbor and say, you need to eat more corn. We eat corn in this camp. Tammy believes in corn. If it'd be up to her, we'd have corn for breakfast, corn at noon, and corn at night. She's a word lady. Where is she? Look at your neighbor and say, eat more corn. This was a historical moment for Ruth. She gleaned in the fields of Boaz, field that she had not planted, her mother-in-law had not planted. This is a historical moment for the church. We're gleaning in the fields of God, which is the world. In fields we have not planted. In fields we have not labored in. And every door of opportunity will be clearly marked for you. So you need to be careful when you walk through. Don't go in there like a bull in the china closet. If it says push, it didn't mean pull. And if it says pull, it didn't mean push. There are times God's going to want you to push, to press in. Sometimes there'll be times when he wants you to pull back, to walk gently and to hear what the master is saying to us in this hour. It will change your spiritual climate. It will change how you do things. He's not only changing our spiritual climate in everyday life, He's changing the way we do church. I've been coming here over 20 years and I've seen a lot of changes. This has been one of the most peaceful, most joyous camp meetings that I've been in a long time. Everybody all of a sudden got loving, and you know, looks can be offensive. But you would look. Did you see? I had a lady in our church service one time. She left slamming the door. She says, "By God, all the pastor did was look at me the whole time he was preaching." I said, "By God, John, like old John Wayne." I said, "Baha, baha, you must have needed it." When you've got that guilt, brother, something is working on the inside. You need to get in touch with what's been hidden. Jesus said, if they've been offended in me, they don't have much root. Root never got offended. Well, Oprah is a gazelle's free-spirited. She can't go to McDonald's and have it her way. See, when you're going to sit under a pastor and the authority of God, you just may not get it your way. But if you sit there long enough and obey the Lord, you'll get it Yahweh's way. And He'll make a way for you when nothing else can make a way for you. He will prepare a place for you. Well, how long can y'all stand this? Got enough? One of the things that you'll notice in chapter 2 and verse 4, and behold, it says, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Opportunity at times will open a door of understanding. How many of you have ever wished or hoped in your heart at one particular time to go and sit under this great man or great woman of God? And you may not have had opportunity, but when you had the opportunity, you went. And it just opened a massive door of understanding. When you come to hear me, don't you get understanding? When revelation comes, do you get understanding? When the door of opportunity, and you're reading the Word, and all of us says, "I never knew that was there." Well, by golly, honey, it was there all the time. You had never seen it. Your eyes had not been opened. Your eyes had not been enlightened. Your ears had not heard yet what the Lord had prepared for you. It's an amazing thing. I thought, you know, certainly God, after 35 years, I'd have this book memorized. And I could just preach, and every time I open it, something new. Now, we ought to be smart enough. I know we're not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but we're not the dullest. Y'all got to eat more corn. Never-ending blessings. Every day is a new day. New refreshing. And Ruth's very much like us. She's operating under her Father's kingdom. She's out under an umbrella of protection. Be you married or single, your Father loves you. You're under His umbrella of protection. He's already made the provisions before He sends you. What a God. Now, you know man's not smart enough to write something like that. He'd be messed up before he gets to Genesis 2. How could people possibly think just, you know, oh, the Bible was written by men. Well, you know, inspired or breathed or impregnated by the Holy Ghost. He takes that little finite mind out and He puts His mind in you. You know, walking in the Spirit can be scary. When we were first learning deliverance years ago, homosexuality was not as rampant in our country as it is today. I hated to go to the grocery store, walk out in the parking lot, and there they're sitting. I'd see it in their eyes. And she says, well, I said, "Oh, more homosexuals." And I said, "Lord, why are you doing this?" He says, "I'm opening your eyes to see. Because you're going to have to come to a place that you can walk in discernment." Maybe where you're from it says discernment. I heard on TV the other day, it shocked me. First time I've ever heard this in our country. They were having a seminar
on the gift of discernment.
I said, glory to God!
And didn't show one big name of anybody. All believers were welcome. I thought, I couldn't get the address. I missed it. I wonder where that was. God gave us the five senses to operate with this anatomy. But the sense of God is discernment. He will let you see things that are not visible to the naked eye. And you have to take opportunity of what He shows you. You can't be boastful. You can't be bullish about it. You got to walk in love and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Why did Ruth see something in Naomi, but the other one didn't? Why is it that only 10% of the church are still the sole supporters of the church? What's happening to the other 90? Why are the people of God in such disarray, in such oppression, and in so many problems discouraged today? Because they're not being fed the truth. The truth's not easy. I absolutely do not like it when God reprimands me. But I learn to love it when I see the fruits come forth. I don't like reprimanding my little 9-year-old. But you know, 15, 20 minutes after she gets through sniffing and quit thinking about how mad she is at me for whipping her, she'll sit on my lap, give me a hug, just to let me know she still loves me. And I wonder how many times God will bring us to certain situations. And when we think we've failed, He'll come right behind and hug you and say, I still love you, sugar plum. You're still the apple of my eye. Amen. Hallelujah. You getting anything out of this tonight?
Yes.
In verse 6, if you'll notice, it said, and the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is Moabitish damsels that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Here we see a paradigm shift where the church of opportunity begins to move into the arena of a thirsty church. You've had some opportunities and God has opened some doors for you. And now that begins to be built inside of you this unquenchable thirst for God. You can't get enough of Jesus. You just can't satisfy that thirst. Your heart begins to cry to Him, Abba Father. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And you begin to get into the Word and you begin to saturate yourself in prayer and you begin to want to hear the heart of God. Is Brother Richard here tonight? I don't see him. I heard something out of that man's ministry today that I thought was absolutely profound. God used that little 70-year-old man to reveal His heart to you. He preached the heart of God. And I knew it wasn't him. God had total control. I thought, wow, this is awesome. I could just see God being manifested in it. I thought it was beautiful. You'll realize in your operation in verses 7 and 8, it says, she said, I pray you let me glean that the thought here is the opportunist operates by divine permission. God still means what He says and still says what He means. Go ye, Matthew 28, into all the world. Not just part of the field, into all the field. And the most opportune thing about this thing is Ruth had no idea at this particular time in her season, in her life, that she would ever own the field. When you will labor in another man's ministry, or you will labor in another woman's ministry, you have no idea when the opportunity will present itself that one day you may be the man or woman standing behind the podium at the helm, and you have been given the authority that came from God because you were faithful. Do you know the difference between faithful and loyal? All these ministers can teach you how to be faithful, but they can't teach you how to be loyal. Loyalty comes from your spirit, from the heart. For an example, how many military men we have here? If you were given this wonderful title of a latrine superintendent, that's a fancy title for cleaning commodes, and you was faithful all through your term. You clean those commodes every day. But you walked into the barracks and somebody just dropped the handkerchief and your title is latrine superintendent. Does that look like a commode? lavatory. A real son, a person who is really loyal to his master. When he walks by it, he wouldn't even think twice. He'd just bend over, pick it up, put it in the garbage, and never draw any attention to himself. Did you hear what I just said to you? When you can learn how to work on another person's ministry like Ruth did with Naomi, never murmur and complain, your promotion will lead you to your destiny. But if all you can do is murmur and complain and give the kiss of betrayal like Orpah, you're not leaving town. You see, in the military of God, when you're born again, when a Jewish person is born in Israel, they're born into the military. You're born into the kingdom. You're born into the military. And there are ranks. So if your climate is cloudy and gloomy, doesn't rain on your parade, things are not going well for you, look inside. Something is hindering you from being all that you can be in Him. And if it's not a spiritual attack, check your heart. You have an attitude. You need an adjustment. Amen? Y'all getting sleepy? Verse 9 points out to let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch you? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessel and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Here we use another principle. A thirsty church receives divine favor and protection. We started this message by saying that 2 o'clock in the morning, quite a few years ago, God woke me up and said, I'm famished, I'm thirsty, and I'm hungry. What is the promise to the believer, to those that hunger and thirst? For what? For righteousness. They shall be filled. Naomi left full, watch this, and she came back empty. Why? Because she allowed her heart to become bitter. There are two words in the Bible that begin with M. One is Mara, bitter. Let me introduce you to the one you need to arrive to. That's Mora, M-O-R-E-H, where Abraham took his son who he was going to slay him. And that in the Hebrew understanding means a place of being taught, a teacher will appear. And what was the lesson that God taught Abraham when he was about to slay his only son's life? It was a type of shadow of the son that was going to come, that Jesus Christ was going to come. Was he not? It was a John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only beloved Son. And at the point when He raised the knife, the angel of the Lord spoke. But He said, Daddy, where's the sacrifice? You know, come on with me. Allow your emotions to be real. Your child's on the altar. You have to take his life to please your master. A living sacrifice. Not a dead one. Not one full of spots and blemishes. And your only son said, well, Daddy, where's the sacrifice? I don't fall for this. Daddy, where's the sacrifice? He was emotional. He wasn't dumb. He's fixing to start the fire. He's strapped. And Abraham stood there knowing that he believed God. If he would take his life, he was able to raise him. And there are times when you're out in the field and you're gleaning, you're going to feel like your life's about to be taken. God has prepared himself for him. There are times that you're going to find that you're weak in the midst of the battle. Go back and eat more corn. Get back in the Word. Get back to praying. You don't want to go sit down with a psychologist and let him pick your brain. Get back and get the counsel of God. Say, Lord, I'm not seeming to get where I need to get. What is the problem here? He may tell you, eat more corn. You're not prepared. You're not ready to receive. But really realizing that when you're thirsty for God, there's a divine favor and protection that will be provided for you. And in verse 10, and we're moving on, we're going to close on in just a minute.
Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thy eyes that thou shouldest take advantage of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz, in verse 11, answered and said unto her, It had fully been shown me, shown past tense. Boaz knew something. He knew what was required by the law, but he saw something. He saw the potential and the possibility in Ruth. But he did not see that in Orpah. He saw in her the same spirit he saw in Naomi. I don't have time to get into the Jewishness of this and why a lot of particular things were done. So much that he protected her from the young men. So much that he had them drop extra sheaves. He will provide. He will protect. And when she gathered them all up, she had more than enough. When you start on your journey, it may look like the barrel of meal is looking pretty dim. It looks like you might not even make it to the end of the month. But God will make a way. He will make a way for those who are thirsty and hungry for Him. He'll make a way for you who are looking for Him. How many of you, I know we're getting late, we're not going to be able to finish all this tonight. How many of you have had some experience from the beginning of 2009 with all this economical meltdown that we've had? You know, we're still pastoring our little church and we had a little nest egg. We weren't feeling nothing. Pretty good. And the nest egg kept going down, down. You know, are we smart people? When you don't put money in the bank, you withdraw everything, it goes down, 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 down. And then all of a sudden you go, uh-oh. But you don't wait to start praying when it's zeroed out. You begin to seek God and begin to look for opportunity. So I said, all right, Lord, this is coming to an end and we have enjoyed the journey. I hadn't done remodeling work and construction for quite a few years. Had no more contacts. And I didn't know if anybody would consider hiring me at my age. And I'm driving down the road. Here's a brother from another mother, from another church, doing construction work. And all of a sudden the Lord says, stop here and talk to him. I pull in. I said, Brother Dallas. Hey, Brother Riley, how you doing? I would wave at him every day. Lives right down the street. I said, I don't know how to ask this, but you got any extra work? Extra work? He said, son, I got work I can't get to. He said, I'll give you 3 jobs right now. When can you start? I said, right now. And those 3 jobs have matured into another job, into another job, into another job, into another job. God is faithful. And He wants to prove Himself to you. So if your atmosphere and your climate is up and down, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. God is still on the throne. God is looking out for your behalf. Let me pray for you. We're going to close. Father, there are some here tonight. They've come seeking for a word from a man or a woman of God, but you've not given the liberty to do so. So by your permission, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, for those who are looking for a word, that there was something said in this message tonight. They'll prick their hearts or open their eyes or open their ears. And for those that are looking for direction, Lord, I pray that you would supernaturally put them in the right path. Lord, for those who are looking for doors of opportunity, I pray that you would open the door wide. Father, increase their knowledge, increase their wisdom, increase their understanding, increase their finances so they can go and do the work of the ministry. And wherever you have sent them to do, let them do it with all their might. And Father, we pray that Abraham's blessings upon them. We pray that they will be blessed in the city, blessed in their house, blessed in the fruit of their wombs,
blessed in their spiritual endeavors, and that at everything they would lay their hands to do, it would prosper in the name of Jesus. Father, use them to go out into the field and to bring those that are lost, those that are despaired and discouraged and defeated, those that are left by the Jericho road to die, to bleed. We pray that your goodness and mercy will continue to follow them all the days of their life. Lord, as we pray for them, as we're about to leave this camp tonight, we pray that they will also pray for us. And that all those that will travel as they leave this campground, or those that will be flying, we pray that the angelic beings will be there assigned to them to protect them and to keep them. Put them around their car, or on their tires, or on the electronic parts, or on the computerized part, every mechanical part, that there will be no malfunction, that the enemy cannot penetrate the angelic protection. And we thank you, Lord, for their love that they have received us with the love of God. Whatsoever they've given unto us, we give back unto them. And we bless them in the name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. Don't forget tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, prayer meeting. And tomorrow at 10 will be your final service. God bless you. It's been a joy. And we hope to see you next time.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.